there was a lot of times that I felt like giving up as well. Like I would get offers. I had a friend, I developed some relationships out in the Bay Area, and a friend was a very successful commercial real estate guy. And he was like, okay, I'll bring you on. And that's a very lucrative job. So I could have given up on that to take the money. And this would have been, you know, a good life, but I didn't want that good to hold me back from what I knew my great was. So we all get these opportunities of these goods put in front of us. And that's the most difficult thing to get around, is turning those down and going for what your goal is.
Come on this journey with me. Each week when you join me, we are going to chase down our goals, overcome adversity, and set you up for a better tomorrow.
Fasten your seatbelt. I'm ready for my close-up.
And welcome back. I'm so excited for you to meet David. David, thank you for being here today.
Heather, I really appreciate you having me on. Thank you very much.
Oh my gosh, coming at me from California, but you're actually an Iowa boy, right?
Yeah, born and raised in the cornfields of small town Pella, Iowa. So what I tell people is I live in California, but I'm from Iowa. So I have the roots, you know, you have the good Midwest roots. But then I was one of the smart ones to actually get out of Iowa. So it's good to be from there, not a good place to live. So
yeah, you couldn't rock that necklace if you were living in Iowa.
I couldn't rock a lot of things that I do, Heather. Me and my wife have a Havanese puppy, and it's got a stroller, it's got pajamas. Like, we fully embrace the LA dog scene. And we took it back to the Midwest, kid you not. People were giving us the weirdest looks. Like, what are you guys doing? A dog in a stroller? Like, let that dog run free. So yeah, I'm kind of giving in.
Oh my gosh, that is hysterical. I like it. Good. You gotta fly your freak flag. You gotta do your thing. Okay. So talk to me a little bit about when you were growing up. Did you have a big vision for what you wanted to do? A vision for sports? What did that look like for you?
Yeah. So I poured every ounce of my being into playing in the NBA. I was fully convinced I was going to play. And now I'm 6'2", not that athletic, never once dunked a basketball in a game. So my parents probably should have said, you know, David, golf's a better option. Baseball, maybe try that out. But I was just dead set on playing in the NBA. So every waking hour is basically like, how can I get better? How can I make that level? And I got to play college basketball and basically grinded my way to be able to do that. And then was fortunate to play overseas professionally. But when I say overseas professionally, it's more like the Will Ferrell semi-pro type overseas, where they're more concerned about where the party is after the game than they are the actual game and putting in the work. And here I am putting in these two-a-days, this extra film study, like literally pouring my whole heart and soul into it. And then I'm in this second division in the middle of nowhere, Spain, the Basque region of Spain, and I get cut from this team. So just imagine, like, your dreams basically is a joke, and then you get cut from that joke team. So I didn't have any backup plan either, Heather. It was all in NBA. So I get cut from this second division Spanish team, and I go back and I'm living on my parents' recliner chair for 5 months, and they're in Kansas City at the time. And I'm just licking my own wounds, like, man, feeling bad for myself. And my mom would always say these motivational, inspirational quotes. And they're always like, you know, whatever, mom, in one ear, out the other ear, never really listened to them. But she said this one, and I remember it vividly. When I was kicked back in the recliner chair, she was doing dishes, and she said, David, when one door closes, four open in an entire beachfront patio overlooking the ocean. I have no idea where she heard that from, or she made it up, but I was like, whoa, okay, that makes sense. Everything that I had been pouring into playing in the NBA, into all this I'd poured into myself, was actually for me to be able to learn and then be able to teach others who had the more God-given abilities, the height, the athleticism. So at that moment, that was my life pivot, where I was like, you know what? No longer am I concerned about playing in the NBA. I'm going to coach in the NBA. So that became my mission. And it shows people that everything you pour into your life is not just gone if it's taken away, but it's to prepare you for an opportunity better, that's better ahead, that's going to come. But if you don't look at it as that way, if you look at it as like, woe is me, everything was taken away, then you play the victim mentality. But if you look at it, I learned so much from this, now I can use it for something greater. So that's kind of my story of basketball and how I pivoted.
One of the things that's hard, I succeeded in corporate America, made it to the C-suite, blah, blah, blah. And then I got fired unexpectedly. And I definitely had that moment that you had, right? Like, just laying down, feeling so badly for myself. it's interesting to hear the way that you frame it up, because I didn't feel like that. I didn't feel like, oh, wow, all of this that I've been doing now is leading me to this. I didn't feel like that. And it's so interesting. I wonder how you knew to position it the way that you did. Because for me, I just felt like for a long time, I was just in the darkness. And I'll try writing a book. I'll try launching a podcast. I'll try TED Talk. Like, I was trying different things. So how did you have that direction so clear to yourself?
Yeah, to be honest, it was basically because I loved basketball so much. And I was like, okay, how can I still be around basketball? What's the way to do it? And coaching was the only thing I could come up with. I wasn't going to referee. I knew I didn't want to do that. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna try to coach. Now, I didn't know anybody in the NBA at that time. Since then, I've developed a lot of great relationships. And my uncle coaches for the Toronto Raptors. So since then, it's happened. But at the time, I didn't know anybody. So I was like, okay, how am I going to do this? I called, wrote a handwritten letter to every NBA GM, every single one of them. One of them got back to me. I was batting 1 for 30. It was the then GM of the Los Angeles Clippers, Gary Sachs. And
oh my gosh, this is so crazy. My mentor is a guy named Bob McCurdy. He was a used to be an NBA player. And when he met my son, and he and I worked together, we're good friends, he had the coach from the LA Clippers send my son a handwritten note, and it's hanging in my son's bedroom right now. That's such a small world.
Isn't that cool? And that makes a huge impact on your son. Just that note,
huge.
Right? I bet. No doubt. So yeah, so me and Gary's conversation was pretty normal. And basically what he ended with was, if you're ever in LA, look me up, we'll grab coffee. Basically, it was more like a, hey, good luck with the rest of your life. But I took that literally. So I booked a ticket to LA right then and there for the following week. Literally all the money I had used to book that ticket. So I prepared that week to go out there and have the meeting with Gary, acting like I was out there. You know, I didn't want to look too desperate. And the meeting went great and it just hit it off. And literally that relationship right there led to everything in the NBA for me. Gary, I even lived with Gary when I moved out to LA. He was in my wedding. He's one of my best friends. And literally like that was it, because I was willing to take that risk. Like, I could have went 0 for 30, but nothing would have been lost if I didn't actually try to gain.
Wow, that I'm so proud of you that you just bought the ticket and went for it. I can't tell you how many times in my career, never done that thing, but I very similar when I wanted to launch a podcast. I wanted to get to the CEO of Podcast One, and I was out in LA and I sent him a message like, oh, hey, you know, but again, just like you, pretending, oh, I happen to be passing by. And what's the worst that's going to happen? If they say no, they say no. But if you don't take that shot, you're never going to know what could have happened.
That's absolutely right. And so many people are debilitated by that fear of hearing rejection. But the rejection is just, it's not a no, you failed. It's okay, on to the next. And if you don't take those shots, you are never going to see the fruit of taking those shots. So it's really we're living in a win-win situation. Right now, where you are exactly in this moment, you're in a great spot, and you can only continue to gain if you take these risks and opportunities. But so many people are afraid of hearing that word no, that they shy away from it.
Everything just kind of came together after that one meeting, or did you still struggle to build out your business?
Oh, no. So then, yeah, absolutely. So then I was like, okay, now I got to specialize in something, because Gary was going to be my point of contact, but now I had to actually go produce. And I figured, okay, the only thing I could do in basketball was shoot. Like, I wasn't athletic. I couldn't do anything else. So I'm going to be the best shooting coach in the NBA. That's what I made my decision. I was going to find my little niche to get in. And it's like, okay, now I got to, let me find out who the best one is right now. And it was the shooting coach for the San Antonio Spurs, Chip England. So what I did with Chip is I studied him. Once again, I wrote messages, emails. I even traveled out to Las Vegas to NBA Summer League to get the opportunity to meet him. I had no idea if I was, but he saw all that I'd been putting in. So he gave me some advice, kind of took me under his wing on that sense. And then I ordered some basketballs custom made from China with this line down the middle so you could see the rotation on the shot. Had it ordered to the Oakland Seaport. I was in Kansas City still at the time. I got in my car, drove 29 hours to the Oakland Seaport, put these balls in my car. And kid you not, Heather, for the next 5 years, I basically lived out of my car. I'd sleep in well-lit Walmart parking lots, anybody's couch who would take me in. And I was just doing a camp for anybody that would take me in. I'd start going overseas internationally. And it was 5 years of what people would look at as grinding. But even though I was enjoying it, like, I loved it. So it wasn't really a grind to me. It was an exciting adventure and journey and seeing the world through it. 5 years later, I'm in Melbourne, Australia, and I get this email. It says Brooklyn Nets shooting coach. I thought it was spam. I literally just about deleted it. I was like, there's no way. Next week, I was the shooting coach for the Brooklyn Nets.
Oh my gosh. And it's so interesting. So many people would have given up in that 5-year window. I'm 3.5 years into being an entrepreneur. And there's been so many times I say, you know, forget it. I'll just go back to corporate America. You know, this is too hard. I don't know. The difference that I'm hearing from you is that you just genuinely loved what you were doing so much. There was never a doubt that this wasn't what you were going to do.
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of times that I felt like giving up as well. Like I would get offers. I had a friend, I developed some relationships out in the Bay Area, and a friend was a very, very successful commercial real estate guy. And he was like, okay, I'll bring you on. And it was, that's a very lucrative job. So I could have given up on that to take the money. And this would have been, you know, a good life, but I didn't want that good to hold me back from what I knew my great was. So we all get these opportunities of these goods put in front of us. And that's the most difficult thing to get around is turning those down and going for what your goal is. So I continued to go, even though people were like, when are you going to get a real job, David? I heard that so many times, especially from the Midwest, like get the 9-to-5, David, get the nine. No, it's not where my passion is. So yeah, I enjoyed the journey through it. And it took a long time. And there's a lot of times where I wanted to quit or felt like, what am I doing? But at the end of the day, like anything that you want to be successful in, and success is, of course, in your own eyes and your own definition, is it's going to take time. If you get this flash in the pan, this Instagram fame or TikTok, like it's going to go away. It's not withstanding. You've got to develop these roots through these long years of putting in the time and effort. One of my favorite quotes other is it takes 10 years to become an overnight success. Like it will never happen. You have to build the foundation and take these 1% steps day after day after day. And if you can see your joy in the journey, it's just going to make it that much more fun and enjoyable along the process.
And that's one of the tactics that you speak a lot about is the 1% steps. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So it's basically looking at your big macro. So I call it the big, crazy, out of this world dream goal. Set what that is. What can you see yourself doing? And for me now, just talking about it now, is I see myself on stage in front of 100,000 people, sold out auditorium. Now, it might be a Zoom auditorium, but who knows? But so I have that picture of myself cut out, someone doing that on my fridge. So I see it every day. That is what I'm going to get to. It's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when.
It should totally be when, and you need to knock on our good friend Ed's door when you see him this week and say, Ed, what's up? What stage are you getting me on, my friend? Because he's on those stages. I just saw him actually, I think it was yesterday, on Jamie Kern Lima's virtual stage, which was enormous. So I'm right there with you. We're going to knock on that guy's door.
Yeah, absolutely. We share a mutual friend, Ed Mylett, who is an amazing human being. So shout out to Ed. But yeah, so then it's about just working your way backwards. Like, what are your steps you're going to take? So at the end of the day, I always want to know that I poured into the needle movers for me to get to that spot. That's what I call my big three. So I have tools and tactics to be able to use to take these 1% steps. So my big three is at the end of each day, I have three things that I wanted to accomplish that I know is going to move the needle forward 1%, maybe even more. And if I can check those off and know I hit those, boom, that's a win the day. Now, if I don't, okay, that's okay too, because a lot of this too, Heather, is about giving yourself grace. As you know, as high performers, as we want to just continue to grow. But there's no straight line to success. It's always up and down, but it's progressing upwards. And the people that don't make it are the ones who get out in what I call the pit. You fall into these pits, these areas, these seasons, these times of suck, where it's miserable being in. But if you can embrace the pit, and understand that it's only sharpening you. It's only, you're that diamond, you're the coal that's going to be even shinier when you come out the other side. Those are the ones who win. So that line to success is a wavy curve that's continuing to go up and up. The only way that you don't get there, I'm a firm believer that the only way you don't get to what you want to do, unless of course it's something outlandish, like you want to be an NBA all-star, like there's certain restrictions that apply for that, is if you give up. Like I genuinely believe if people have the work ethic, the drive with passion and purpose, you can achieve your goals just as long as you don't give up when it gets hard, because it is absolutely going to be hard.
When starting out a new business, it's a complete pain to get through the LLC part. Taylor Brands makes it 90% easier. It's easy and affordable to get your LLC with Taylor Brands. Taylor Brands offers all the legal requirements for LLCs, such as registered agent, annual compliance, EIN, operating agreement, business license and permits, and much more. Taylor Brands walks you through each step of building a successful business and has everything you need all in one place. Bookkeeping, invoicing, business licenses and permits, business documents, bank accounts, and so much more. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using this link, taylorbrands.com/confidence. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/confidence. So get started today with Taylor Brands. Quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have, the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. I want you to know that finding ways to be more efficient, cut costs, and get rid of errors and mistakes can completely transform your business, boost your performance at the same time. This is why you need NetSuite now. Now through April 15th, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/Monahan. netsuite.com/Monahan. netsuite.com/Monahan.
You know, you've worked with so many of, you know, the highest performers, athletes, most successful people. What do you think really is at that core of success? Is it that you just don't give up, that resilience? Is it the confidence to actually, you know that you have it within you? Is it the disciplines and practices that you have day to day in your life? What do you point to?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of all those really, and it's finding what your rhythm is. But at the end of the day, it's, what is your purpose? Do you have passion in your purpose? So are you doing what you do for yourself, for your own gain? If you are, it's going to drive you nuts at the end because there's never going to be a rung on the ladder that is high enough for you. You're going to be Steve Jobs who's dying on his deathbed and miserable, you know? But if you're doing it for something else, something bigger for other people, for the service mentality, then you will be able to get there because it's so much more valuable, not even just to yourself, but to changing the world around you. So it's purpose with passion. But yes, the dedication, the desire, the drive, the determination, all of those D's lead to this day after day after day that you have to put in. So it's a combination of a lot of this, and you hit on confidence. And if we could point out one main thing that people struggle in is their self-confidence, is truly understanding that confidence is not about your results, is not about what the world says about you, these labels that we see ourselves as, but it's the true self-awareness of who we are and what we stand for. So I work a lot with NBA players and some CEOs, leaders, different athletes about how to develop what I call the unshakable confidence. And then I have a 7-step process that we go through that really just kind of gets them to self-reflect and figure out, okay, even if I'm not successful, which is a word, a term, we could get into that too. Like all these words we hear, they're like success, failure, rich. Like they only mean what we decide them to mean. Words are just words. And our subconscious has been taught what they mean. You know, failure, ooh, that's bad. No, really, failure is a great way, probably the best way to learn and grow through failure. So yeah, confidence, like you have to have that basis of true self-awareness, confidence, before you add anything else, that purpose with passion, and then all the D's that we talked about.
What are the 7 steps that you take people through to find their confidence?
Yeah, so I'll name out the 7 steps. And then if you want to dive deep into any one of them, just let me know. So the first one is confidence through comparison. And that was a lot of people think, you know, it's bad to compare. But no, that's what MJ, Kobe did to Michael Jordan. You compare yourself with someone you see that you can be like I did with Chip Englund. So then you're starting to like, someone's been there before. Like, there's no, like, there's going to be someone like, for me, Tony Robbins or Ed Milet. Like, I'm going to compare myself to them and I'm going to learn from them. Second one is confidence through strength focus. Far too often we are told that we have to improve our weaknesses, up your weaknesses. No, we are giving God-given gifts and abilities, strengths for a reason and purpose. You put those different strengths together to make this ultimate team. No great championship team was just a bunch of superstars. It doesn't work. You have to have different pieces. So focus on your strengths. Do your strengths better than anybody else. And like in the NBA, if you give me somebody who's good in all areas, they're probably not playing in the NBA. But if you give me someone who's great in one area, they can have a long, long career. And actually, a good friend of mine, I grew up right down the road in Pella, Iowa, actually, is Kyle Korver, one of the best shooters in NBA history. The guy can't really dribble, move, defend, or anything, but he can just shoot the cover off the ball, and he's still able to play in the NBA. So that was two of the third one is confidence through redefining vocabulary. And this is where we're talking about what success means. What does rich mean? So for athletes, I always talk about slumps. People go through slumps. And I'll always ask my players, when was your last shooting slump? And, you know, I could see their body language just crumble. You know, like 5 games ago, I just couldn't make a shot. And I don't know why they don't go in. Then I'll ask them, when was your last shooting hippopotamus? And I'll wait for the response. And they'll look at me crazy like, hey, what are you talking about? But what I'm showing them is this word of slump is just a word, self-created the definition of it through what the world has told us. We can detach from that. We don't have to actually look at slump as a slump. If you look at it as a shooting hippopotamus, you laugh at it. You know what? You feel that it's okay. It's okay that I'm going through this. So detaching, redefining vocabulary, and just focusing on the process through it. Like, that's something so cliche to say. It's like throwing culture around there. Focus on the process. Yeah, but what does that actually mean? And what that means is the results, you're never going to get to the results if you don't focus on the process solely. If you focus on the results, it won't happen. So it's taking what your day-to-day is. For NBA players, I have a player with the Toronto Raptors. His two great shots are catch and shoot three-pointers and attacking the rim in transition. All we do is we count how many opportunities did he get in those. If he got 15 opportunities, great game. If he missed them all, that's okay. He's put in 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 hours that those are going to happen. So it's all about focusing on the process. The fourth one is creating your own personal highlight reel, which is basically your best moment. For NBA players, it's pretty easy because I can cut up their clips and I have them watch it every morning when they wake up, before they step on the floor for practice and before they step on the floor for the game. So you're living in this moment where you were at your best. Most people think, oh, that was lucky, you know, flash in the pan. But really, that is, you've been there before. You can get there again. Like for myself, I have a picture of myself on stage in front of this big Fortune 500 corporation right when I walk up my stairs in the morning. So I see that right away. Like, this is me. I can do this. I've been there before. I can get there again. And so it's all about seeing your own highlight reel and continuing to watch that on repeat, developing the muscle memory in these mindset tools of seeing yourself there, and then you live in that. The fifth one is confidence through pouring into others, through the service mentality, is through giving. When you decide that it's not about you when you step in a room, it's about the people around you, it takes a lot of pressure off you, you know? And there's an NBA player, is one of my favorite NBA players in all time, who I kind of looked up to when I was playing, is Steve Nash. And when Steve Nash was playing, he led the NBA in high fives given per game. They take all these kinds of stats. High fives given, 239 high fives a game. He was called the best teammate anybody's ever played with because he was always encouraging, positively pouring into others. And we can all be that type of person in our life. Like, you can be encouraging, Zoom high fives. I send out 3 text messages every morning or video messages to people I might not have talked to for a while, and just encouraging them in their journey and their mission. And the response that I've got from that has been life-changing sometimes. People are like, I needed that so much.
Oh my gosh, right now, that's such a great idea because everybody needs it. That's such a great idea.
Yeah, and we can be those people. And when you are that person, people really take to that. So you can be that encourager. You can be given those Zoom high fives. The sixth one is confidence through a cue word. So I'm big on having mental cues. It's kind of like that movie Inception, where there's the top spinning, and whenever they see the top, it kicks them back into a level of a dream. Same thing, if you have a word, you have this word that you say over and over and again, it kicks you back into everything's okay, you're even keel, you were this confident person that you've built up to be. So with players, NBA players, I'll have one guy's is unshakable, one guy's is process. Like, it's different words you keep repeating to say, and it kicks you back into that state of mind.
When I started podcasting, an online store was the furthest thing from my mind. Now I'm selling my group coaching on the regular, and it is just so easy, all because I use Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soaps or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. I didn't know what I was going to do when I got fired. Launching my own business seemed so intimidating. I didn't know how to set up a website, and I really didn't need to. Shopify does it all for you, and they make it so easy. It was that breakthrough moment for me that I realized I can do this. I can go to work for myself thanks to Shopify. What I love about Shopify is you don't need to have all this technology information ready to, you don't need to know how to plan and run things. You just need to go to the platform, turn it on, and know what you're selling. And Shopify is going to help you figure out the rest. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries, including your girl right here. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Monahan, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Monahan now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Monahan. No matter what stage you're at, they're going to make it easy. CBDistillery.com is giving you an exclusive offer, and it's huge. Right now, you can get up to 30% off everything. If you've struggled with sleep, stress, or pain after physical activity, CBDistillery.com has a targeted plant-powered solution just for you. I love hearing how many of you have seen improvement in your daily life thanks to CBD. So if better sleep, more calm, and relief from discomfort after physical activity sounds good to you, you should explore CBD. Don't miss this massive sale and get up to 30% off your order. Visit cbdistillery.com and enter VIP. That's cbdistillery.com and enter VIP at cbdistillery.com. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, and South Dakota.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, sure, I just want to, I want to interject on that. So that's actually, I was a psych major in school when I was a kid. And, you know, there's this thing called Pavlov's law, which is when you ring a bell enough and then you feed the dog after you ring the bell, the dog will begin to salivate when you start ringing the bell, right? So it's essentially what you're teaching these people is this word is going to cue a feeling. They can immediately snap back to it. And I actually personally, when I have something big that I'm doing, I have a playlist that's my, like my keyword, right? I turn that on and I only listen to it when I'm going to do something big. So immediately my mind goes to in the zone, I'm about to go crush it. I'm going to kill whatever I'm about to do. And I get so fired up and it works every single time.
That's so awesome. That's great. I love that playlist because that is it too. Like you find your rhythm, you find your energy from that. Like I'll still play my walk up even when I'm not on stage. We're not on stage speaking. I'll play my walk-up music before I get on a Zoom call, before I get on a Zoom company talk. It's just like, yeah, that is your juice, you know? So that's awesome. Yeah. And then to wrap it up is really the seventh one is confidence through preparation. So what I call relentless consistency. And that's the best compliment that I can ever get from anybody is being relentlessly consistent, showing up the same way every day, no matter what's going on in my life, coming with joy, positivity, encouragement, serving others. And then it's just the preparation is where we gain confidence from. It's the 10,000 hours rule. I'll tell the player, like when they say they're in a shooting slump, I was like, okay, how many shots have you shot in your life? I don't like 25,000 plus. Like, I think you've prepared for it. If you've taken a test 25,000 times before you step into that test, I think you're going to gain a lot of confidence from actually being prepared for that. So there's a lot of confidence in the preparation that we put in. It's what I call relentless consistency, doing it day after day after day.
Love those. They're so good. All right. Now I want to get to the book Pivot and Go. And you know, what's interesting is you talk about routine, having a morning routine, you have a nighttime routine. I do not have routines like this. So David, I need to learn from you. Give it to us.
Wow. I'm actually surprised. Like as high a performer and driven as you are, routines is where we, I mean, that's 80% of our days are basically habitual. So I try to set up my routines for the most success of winning the day that I possibly can. So for me, setting up my morning routine, like I want to make sure that I get to three main things. I'm really big on the big three. And there's a lot of things that I'll do in my morning routine. I keep adding more and adjusting and same with the evening routine. But three main things that I know if I hit them, boom, I'm good to go. Like I know the rest of my day I can take on. So starting with the evening routine, actually, because that sets up the next day. People don't understand that the evening routine. So I have a shutoff time. I always have a shutoff time, me and my wife, to have intentional time together, especially in the Zoom world. We can just get overwhelmed and like just keep working and keep working. So I'll set a shutoff time. We'll say out closing time, whenever closing time is for that night. And then we'll have something that we're doing together, some type of activity. Maybe it's a dinner we're cooking, but something to just kind of relax and recharge because our days are so packed in for a lot of us. We have to have that recharge. Without that rest and recharge, the next day you're going to be like that iPhone that you wake up with and it wasn't plugged in. It's at 20%. Like we want to be fully recharged. So, and then in the evening, we'll have our time before bed where we're praying together. We spend time together, just, you know, thanking, saying the joys for the day. We'll go over the things we're excited for. So just really going to bed in a joyful state. We'll write out in my journal and her journal of anything that's on our mind. So we know we don't have to go to bed with a racing mind. It's there. It'll be there tomorrow. We don't have to go to bed with it. So that's kind of the big three for the evening. The morning, I always start off with an ice cold shower, 3-minute ice cold shower. One reason I do that is a term in my book. It's a chapter I call mental dictatorship. So I traveled, like I was talking about, with these NBA players and doing camps. And whenever somebody didn't want to start something, I'd start the stopwatch to see how long it took for them to actually be like, okay, their mind overcomes their body. And it was on average about 17 seconds. So think about that. If you don't want to work out, just start. Start for 17 seconds and your body will be, okay, I'm fine. So I do that for the ice cold shower. I hate getting in there. Hate it. But after 17 seconds, I'm fine. And I know that throughout the rest of the day, anything that comes my way, I can get through it. I've already gotten through this thing that already sucks. And then I'm really big on my morning coffee. It's my praise and worship and coffee time. I'll have praise music going on, just get me that light mood, that energetic, positive mood while I make just amazing coffee. And then I'll sit, kind of watch the sunrise when it's coming up because I get up early and I'll journal. My journal will be, I'll spend 5 quiet minutes, just 5 minutes alone, not saying anything. I'm not meditating or anything. I feel like if anybody says they're meditating for an hour or 2 hours, they're probably BSing you. It's incredibly hard to even sit for 5 minutes alone. Most of the time, I don't even make 5 minutes. And then I'll write out my, like I talked about, my big three, my joys. I'll have some kind of scripture that I'm reading that day that I'll dive into. That'll be, so my morning routine's about 30 to 40 minutes. Then I'll go hit a workout and I'm in with my day. I know my big three and I'm just boom, boom, boom. Everything's scheduled out for the day.
You talk a lot about the importance of sleep, which I feel like is something that, you know, we forget about. It seems so simple, but it's not something that I prioritize. You know, as I'm going through your work, I'm realizing it's clearly a priority for you.
Oh, big time. I can tell the difference. Now I track everything. So I got the Oura Ring and I'm tracking, I'm seeing what my sleep scores are. But I can absolutely.
Wait, for people that don't know what that is, can you explain that, a sleep score?
Yeah, so the Oura Ring or Whoop band, and you track your sleep score. So it's basically your recovery rate. It'll track your HRV, your heart rate variability, your deep sleep, your REM cycles. So you'll know like where's your sweet spot. Now it's really fun, but it's really hard to kind of like really get it down to a science. I also use the chili pad, which goes underneath the mattress. You don't feel it, but it cools your body to the temperature that you want it to be at. And ideal sleeping temperatures between 57 degrees Fahrenheit and 65. You get better deep restorative sleep through sleeping in the cold.
Does that pad really work?
Game changer. Like, honestly, I have the pad, I have the blanket. I kid you not, when I'm on the road and I don't have it and my body starts getting hot, because our body gives off a lot of heat during the night. Like, I wake up and I know I'm not recharged. When I sleep with this, when I'm at home, like, I almost love this Zoom time because I don't have to travel as much. So I get more time sleeping in my own bed on this. I feel just absolutely higher energy to the max.
Oh, I'm so getting this. I'm going to report back on this one.
Yeah, I'm telling you, like, this is one thing I swear by.
We'll see if my sleep scores go up after this.
Okay, let me know. Yeah, but yeah, sleep is just like the recovery, the recharge, the rest. Often people think work and rest can't go together, but it's like a wave. You have to ride each part of the wave. With the work, you have to have the rest. And life is a marathon ran in sprints. We go hard for a while, then we recover. We go hard for a while, then we recover.
You know, that analogy is the same in business. You know, when I think back to in sales, you go through a building phase where you're ramping up, and then you plateau for a little while because you're trying to manage all the new business that you have, and then you start ramping up again. So that is so applicable in life, in business, in sports, you know, in everything. And that's a great visual for people to hang on to, because it does allow you to give yourself some grace.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love that word too. Give yourself some grace. Like, we all want to make things happen now. We all put so much pressure on ourselves. Just learn to give yourself grace and laugh at yourself. Like, in difficult times, just laugh. You're here. Like, you've been through every difficult thing that you've gotten through. You've gotten through. You're going to get through the next thing. So just give yourself some grace. It's okay. I call it the full plate mentality. I mean, you wake up every morning with your plate is full. It's full. Everything you're going to get to that day is on that plate. And it's okay if you don't get to everything you think you need to, then it's leftovers. So it's a full plate mentality that you wake up with every morning.
I love that. Tell me, who is the book Pivot and Go for?
It's really focused on people that are going through stuck feelings in their life that really can't feel like, you know, that just like, how do I make this next step? Or how do I get on to the next thing? Because pivot is a basketball term where you have the ball and the whole defense is around you. You can't see the hoop or any of your teammates. And you make this small turn. Not a big change. Big change is daunting for people, but the slight turn and then everything opens up. That is a pivot. So it's for people who have felt stuck, feel stuck. It's just kind of funny. Like, I hear pivot all the time now, because to some extent, we've all felt very stuck during 2020 or 2021. So right now, like, I don't like to say the book is for everyone, because maybe it's not for everyone, but everyone has felt that stuck feeling at some point.
Oh my gosh, I hear it. I don't know if you're on Clubhouse, David, but I'm on Clubhouse a lot now. And every time I hold a room, those are the questions I'm being asked. What do you do when you're stuck? Have you ever felt stuck? I mean, it really is. So it's a popular challenge that I do believe the majority of people are dealing with. So the book is for everyone. Pivot and Go. Where can everyone get it?
Anywhere books live, Amazon, on my website, davidnurse.com. You can get the ebook, you can get the audiobook, and have to put up with listening to me talk through the whole thing, which is, hey, Heather, that's the biggest labor of love. If you did the audiobook, you know, it's a lot of time hearing yourself talk is difficult. But yeah, and then I have a podcast, the Pivot and Go podcast, and I do a breakthrough blueprint in-depth coaching for individuals who are very into self-development, pouring into themselves so that they can go lead and pour into others. So yeah, and then on Instagram, David Nurse MBA, Twitter, David Nurse MBA, and or just come out and hang in the marina.
Of course, you got to include MBA on there. And I'm so proud of you that you did. So thank you so much, David, for being here. I will put all the links to David's information for the book Pivot and Go, for his website, and for his social media. David, keep up the great work you're doing. We're going to be cheering you on.
Heather, so blessed and thankful for coming on this podcast with you. I really appreciate what you're doing for everybody. So thank you big time.
Thank you, David. Hold tight. We'll be right back.
I decided to change that dynamic. I couldn't.
come on this journey with me.
Hi, I'm here to tell you about a new podcast that I am so excited about. Negotiate Your Best Life, hosted by Rebecca Zung, a part of the Yap Media Network. As a globally renowned narcissist negotiation expert and an attorney recognized by U.S. News as a best lawyer in America, Rebecca shares her invaluable insights and strategies for navigating life's toughest negotiations. By drawing from her own experiences and the wisdom of her high-profile guests, such as Bob Proctor, Mark Victor Hansen, John Gordon, and Rebecca delivers empowering advice that will inspire you to reclaim control of your life. Negotiate Your Best Life is all about how to negotiate your way to greatness. She provides practical guidance on how to break free from toxic relationships, stand up against injustice, and transform chaos into freedom, possibility, and purpose. Many times, the first negotiation you do is with your own in the morning. In the morning is when you wake up, and that's when Negotiate Your Best Life is time for you. It's about to find your way to greatness, conquering obstacles, and creating the life you truly deserve. Get ready to slay, thrive, and unlock your full potential. Don't believe me? I'm going to go ahead and share some of the reviews that are out there so you can hear and you can believe too. You have helped me so much these last few weeks. I was with a narcissist for 2 years. She drove me to the point I wanted to take my own life. Listening to you has made a massive difference, and now I know what I'm with. Thank you, Rebecca. Now the recovery. Thank you for gifting the knowledge to believe in myself again. You have unknowingly helped me legally represent myself through criminal, federal, and civil court proceedings with a narcissist. There would be so many people around the world that you're helping without even knowing, like me. You saved my life. Emma, 35 years old, Australia. If you are ready to stand up against injustice and transform the chaos in your life into freedom, possibility, and purpose, then check out Negotiate Your Best Life now. Subscribe to Negotiate Your Best Life with Rebecca Zung on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform.